And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for, let's say, a somber episode of RBLR Sports today because we are covering the Rowdies, like I do frequently with my co-host Carlos. But as I said, this is going to be a bit of a downer episode. Carlos, how are you doing? Hopefully, despite the game that we're going to discuss.
Independent of the Tampa Bay Rowdies, James, I'm doing pretty all right. I've been like on and off sick for a week now, which is really annoying. If you recall in the last episode, I'm sure I sounded a bit off. And now, for whatever reason, my voice actually sounds worse. I feel better, but my voice is in and out. So I pardon me for that going forward in this episode. Other than that, James, we're doing all right. It's a lovely day up here in Washington, D.C. Georgetown Soccer just won their last regular season game of the year, the last regular season home game, 4-1. Things are going pretty well over here. What's going on down there? And hopefully good things to brighten up the mood other than the game that you mentioned we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah, there have been other things around it to take my mind off it, but now that we're in it, it's kind of taken me back to Saturday night, and that was just a bummer, honestly. That was a lot of negativity. So as much as we might want to avoid it, Carlos, unfortunately, we are here to discuss the Rowdies every week, and that includes weeks like this past one. So I think at this point we might as well just get into it. But if you are unaware, somehow the Rowdies this past weekend lost 3-0 to end their season season and their hopes of getting a trophy this season. No one in our standings got any points because even the guest spot picked the Rowdies to win. We'll have to determine if that's the end of the line or if we want to continue on making any more guests. I think that they're mostly for the Rowdies, so probably what's going to happen is that we will end it there, but you know, we'll figure it out. Either way, right now the guest spot is on top, and we will figure out what we're going to do from there. So now that we are getting into the recap, I just want to say, even in these somber times, please like and subscribe to us on YouTube and any other major platform that you would use a podcast. And please, of course, follow RBLR Sports on social media like Instagram and Twitter and TikTok and Facebook at RBLR Sports. Now, Carlos, let's go ahead, do the quick recap, and we will then get into the question section, which, because there isn't a preview to follow, is going to take up most of our night tonight.
Yep. Tonight, we say rest in peace to the Tampa Bay Rowdies 2023 season. It came to a bitter end, I would say, this past weekend against the Birmingham Legion. We lined up with Connor Sparrow in goal, Antley, Doherty, Lasso, and Guillen making up that back line. In front of them, we had Dennis, Ekra, Hilton, and Lakava. And your main two strikers up top, the two guys who had been on fire, absolutely on fire coming into this game, were JJ Williams and Cal Jennings, who unfortunately, as we'll get to in a second, were not able to put up any goals between them on this night. The first half did not provide much of any positive note, actually. The Tampa Bay Rowdies didn't really have too many opportunities. There's maybe one decent-looking shot to force Van Okkel into a half save. Other than that, it was really just kind of a dull affair until, that is, Birmingham Legion opened the scoring in the 41st minute with a goal from Tabort Preston. Late in the first half. I'm in the 41st minute. He would notch the opening goal for the Birmingham Legion. They'd go up 1-0 into halftime. The second half was characterized by plenty of substitutions, James. Three subs by the 60th minute and then two more in the 79th minute. Five subs would happen in the second half, but nothing would really come of that. It would actually be Birmingham that would score the last two goals of the games and would end up winning 3-0 on the evening in what was a lifeless affair for the Tampa Bay Rowdies. I struggled to come up with the words for it that night, and I still struggle to come up with the words for it now. It was many players' worst game of the season, and as I mentioned when it was confirmed that we'd be playing Birmingham. Birmingham had our number throughout the year. They beat us at home. They beat us away. And then they beat us at home again. So clearly they had our number. And for whatever reason, they were the team that ended up being our, I don't know, our unsolvable problem this year, James. Final score, 3-0. Birmingham Legion moves on to the next round in a highly, highly, highly unfortunate game to have our worst game of the season. Not much else to that, James. That's about the quick analysis. We were outplayed, thoroughly outplayed. Birmingham ended the night with 13 shots. We ended up with 6. 8 shots on target for them, 2 shots on target for us in what was clearly our worst game offensively and maybe defensively as well. We ended our season in the first round of the playoffs. Disappointing, to say the least.
Yeah, to say the least. Carlos, I think actually what we usually do when we do the questions is go through the game and decide who our man of the match is. I'm going to just do this out of the blue here and say, let's do our man of the match now because it's pretty much useless otherwise. We're going to go through a whole bunch of negativity and we're going to get to a point where we're already describing where you and I are going to start this. So let's do our man of the match now. My man of the match, I'll just start it for this specifically, is it's going to be Ariel Martinez. Ariel Martinez, because he came on late and within the amount of time that he had on the field, he at least worked really hard and tried to win the ball back and tried to do something and even like hit somebody with his shoulder. So you could see that he was pissed about it. There was some emotionality to it. So for that, he is my man of the match because he wasn't on for the 3 goals. Carlos, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, I struggled to pick a man of the match for this game, and I ended up just deciding on Leo Fernandez for really no particular reason. James, like everybody just had that. Yeah, we picked the worst time to have our worst game of the season, like truly. And in that way, there wasn't really a ton of players that stood out or had a great game. I'm pretty much picking Leo Fernandez based off the fact that he hasn't played all year, basically, and made his return. And, you know, it was nice to see him on the field at least. Halftime sub, wasn't able to contribute too much. It seemed like by the time he came in, I was hoping, you know, at halftime we'd be able to kind of readjust, get something going. Down 1-0 at halftime, it's fine. You're at home. You can regroup. You can change a couple things. I figured Leo Fernandez could be at the center of that. Was he? I'm not really sure. Like, honestly, he had a decent game, nothing crazy, but he didn't have a terrible game. I don't know. Like,
he wasn't literally awful out there.
Yeah. Like, it was like, good for him. I'm happy he's back on the field. I'm excited to see him. Hopefully he can stick around for a little bit longer. He can get back to good health and we can see him back in MVP form again. We were missing an MVP type player today. Around that night, we were missing our main guys. Like, they just didn't show up, and it was unfortunate. So Leo Fernandez is my man of the match, but again, I don't really have a strong reason for it.
I think that that's perfectly fair. So we did our man of the match already. Usually that means we move on to something else, but we don't have something else to go to, as I've said. So unfortunately, I guess, Carlos, that means we actually have to talk about the game now. Let's break it down the way we usually do, and we'll start with the first half. So the first thing that I want to say with this is not going to be controversial, but it's not nice, I guess. The crowd in this game was bad. Straight up, I thought that it was really poor. I think that anyone who's listening to this podcast is not going to be like responsible, quote unquote, for that, because if you're listening to this podcast, you're obviously, I think, a pretty in-depth Rowdies fan. There aren't going to be a ton of casuals probably that are listening to this. Maybe it's someone who, you know, listens to RBLR for the Lightning or the Rays or the Bucks, and they accidentally left ours on for a little while. But it's unfortunate that people didn't turn out for this one like they should have because it's a playoff game. I don't know if that's down to bad advertising or bad timing or some combination of both, but that sucked. So anyway, that was shitty. Let's go now to, I guess, the game itself. The Rowdies came out in a 4-4-2. Carlos, you already did the lineup for us, had Jordan Doherty in the back line. It was, yeah, Dennis, Ecker, Hilton, and LaCava across the midfield. So I want to say, when I first got there, I was a little surprised to see Jake LaCava in the starting lineup, because as much as Jake LaCava seems to have a lot of potential, and he did have a very good season last year, I don't know that any of us has really seen it this year. We'll get back to that in a little bit. And the first couple minutes, I think that Birmingham tried to create a goal for themselves very early on, but then they kind of sat back and they just defended mostly. It was a very good defensive performance from them from the first minute to the 90th minute. And my first couple notes are Legion are just sitting back and letting us have it, letting us keep the ball. Charlie Dennis was out right, and Antley would often like to get higher than him. But the answer that they had at left back was Moses Mensah for Birmingham Legion. At left center back was Jake Roof. And then in front of the defense was actually Enzo Martinez. Enzo Martinez, who was an infamous figure around Al Lang, probably around all of the USL, actually. Everyone hates him who is not actively playing with him. I'm sure even if you used to play with him and you're playing against him, you hate him. But that's how effective he is. He's, you know, what else are you supposed to say? He's a very effective player at that role. And in this game, actually, he stepped back into a more defensive role, and he was just as effective as any other game that we've seen him play. He was extremely good at trying to prevent us from creating any of the patterns of play that, you know, the Rowdies are known for, I would say. On the right wing, like I said, it was Antley who was trying to actually get up the wing, and Charlie Dennis started outright, but kind of sometimes migrated into the middle. Usually he didn't. Usually it was just that he was deeper than Connor Antley. It wasn't necessarily that he was stepping into the midfield itself. Often Cal Jennings would be kind of on the back line, whether that was Roof or Cronally, and JJ Williams would step into a deeper role where he could try to help out. And that was not effective at all. So I guess that kind of covers the entire right side, because I don't know what else to refer to there. Hilton and Ekra didn't particularly contribute to that side, but I don't know that that's usually what they're supposed to do. They're usually supposed to facilitate the passing. They are not often tasked with carrying the ball more than a couple yards at a time. I know that Jan Ekra will like to turn with it and try and beat one or two players, but his game is mostly doing that and then passing to someone who has a lot more time and room to eat up space. So I guess that's the right side. On the left side, Aaron Guillen was just sitting a lot deeper, and then Jake LaCava was on the field. I'm not trying to be mean, but he was completely ineffective all game. I think that there was we're skipping past a couple of things, but I have in my notes roughly around the 30th minute that the Rowdies had stepped up our intensity for about 5 minutes. Maybe that lasted 10 minutes, but that was about it. The speed of play changed in our game probably twice over the course of the 90 minutes, and in total for about 10 minutes. So that was how it started for me, Carlos. Enzo Martinez even got himself a yellow card in the 9th minute, and somehow we didn't take advantage of the fact that their feistiest player, who is the most defensive player on their team that isn't a defender, was on a yellow card. I mean, it's just like, you can't allow someone who's like Enzo is to have such an easy game when he has a 9th minute yellow card, and he doesn't. I don't know if he had another foul called on him all game. I'd have to look that up. But
no.
Yeah, that's how it started. So, Carlos, what did you see going forward? I have a couple other notes but I've been talking for a while now. So please go. This is only the first half, like I said, but
yeah.
And actually, I guess this is only the first half of the first half, but go ahead with your thoughts here before I take up so much time that people just tune it out.
Yeah, no, this is one of those episodes, James, where it kind of just feels like you and I are just complaining back and forth, because that's kind of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like listening to this, you're a sicko. Like, I don't know what you're doing. You're getting into the depths where we're just kind of, you're complaining with us, and you know what? It's therapeutic. I'll admit it. And I'll say, like, I'll say this in terms of the first half, for context, it was kind of funny because I was watching it. I work at a bar here on campus, and it was at about that point, 7:30, where it's kind of a slow time. It's post-dinner, right? Post-dinner-ish. And it's pre-nighttime where people start coming around like 9:30, 10 or whatever. So it's pretty slow. There's a couple guys there, and I'm chatting with them. And we're watching college football on one TV. And on the other TV, I'm like, hey, do you guys mind if I put on the Tampa Bay Rowdies game? You know, it's going to be at 7:30. They're like, what's a Tampa Bay Rowdy? And I'm like, okay, well, let me tell you. And eventually they're like, oh yeah, that sounds awesome. Like, let's just put it on, whatever. And they tuned in for a terrible game, obviously.
Yeah.
That being said, I was watching the game in the context of a bar while I was working. It was a really interesting dynamic. And in the moment, it didn't feel like we were doing that bad. It just felt like a decent game against Birmingham. Looking back, we played really bad in the first half, but not bad enough to where we were like out of the game. When we were down 1-0 in the first half, I usually it's like okay, like well, like whatever.
We can work our way back in. Yeah,
yeah. You don't want to start like that, obviously, but you're at home. It's a first round of the playoffs. So obviously, there's the knowledge that if you lose this game, it's over. But being down 1-0. And how the Rowdies offense has been, I was pretty unconcerned, admittedly. Like, I know we didn't play that great or good or even mediocre in the first half or the second half, but there was an assumption in my head that we would just kind of figure it out.
Eventually, because, it would come to something.
Yeah, there was, like, I figured we would kind of just figure it out. I mean, we have been scoring so many goals in this latter part of the season. And JJ Williams and Kyle Jennings has just been an incredible duo up top. And they didn't have it in that first half, but that's fine. Like, eventually they're just going to click and the three goals are going to come and it's going to be insane and whatever. Like, it's just going to be like, you know, last time or that first time we played Birmingham Legion in the playoffs, we won 4-2. I mean, there were a lot of goals. Like, it's coming. And then the second half started and JJ Williams got subbed off. And, like, admittedly, I was a little bit confused. A little bit concerned. I was like, is this really the move you want to go with? Because these are the two guys that have been so clearly the most offensively productive, even if they weren't so in the first half. But that's all to say, like, my first half analysis isn't very tactical. Like, I'm telling you this just as somebody, as like everybody else, was a fan watching the game, not in the stadium. Presumably people in the stadium were like much more anxious, much more frustrated. I know that comes with that. That kind of like being in the moment for that game in the playoffs. As a fan watching from the TV, there was kind of just an assumption in my head that we would just figure it out. Unfortunately, that never happened. But like, I wasn't too concerned about that first half, really. Like, the first half was not great. And they had a really nice goal from Preston, by the way. Kind of just cooked Guillen, and Guillen took the bait on that fake shot there. But it was like, okay, they score their goal. We'll figure it out. As far as what we did wrong in the first half, James, like, I've been trying to think about this, and I guess it goes for both halves as well, and I can't really put my finger on it. Like, it just seemed like we were never really – like, we never really locked in. Like, we never really remembered that it was a playoff game. And as soon as Birmingham scored that first goal, it felt like – at least it looks like, looking back now, that they weren't really confident in themselves anymore. Like, I just don't know what it was. It was just, it's such a weird game because we're talking about a team that finished so well, that scored three goals to end the season in Louisville away, right? Like, it's absurd. And it just really doesn't make any sense that we lost 3-0 at home to Birmingham Legion in the first round of the playoffs. Like, it doesn't make sense at all. And I really can't put my finger on what went wrong other than everything. I mean, the subs were a little weird. The lineup was a little weird. Jake LaCava starting was maybe a little bit weird as well. I don't know. Maybe you put Kleeman in to start, and why is Doherty playing center back? Like, there's some questions, but nothing really like just outstanding to be like, wow, like this is just blatantly wrong, and this is the reason we lost. It really was a collective thing, and I think that's why, like me personally, I was struggling to find my man of the match. Like, I couldn't tell you a single player that put up a good fight.
No,
like it was up and down the roster, just really, really sad, and just really left me speechless after that first. You know, I was gonna say I misspoke. After the whole game, the first half totally different. First half, we had a bad half. Okay, we'll regroup. Second half, we'll come out and score 3 goals. Doesn't matter. And then the second Birmingham goal came, and the confidence drops a little bit more. But, okay, like 2-0 with half an hour left is still possible. But that third goal was just deflating. Like a 2-0 loss versus a 3-0 loss, that 3 stings a bit more. But I'm getting into the second half, James. Please bring me back to the first half and wrap up your thoughts there.
Well, I think honestly, something that you said is, I think it's a really good way to put it. You said the Rowdies seem to forget that it was a playoff game. And in one way, I can understand where that would be beneficial. The Rowdies play, you know, their way, and sometimes they still let in a goal because there are defensive problems, which we're going to get to when we talk about the goals individually. But at the same time, the Rowdies are still a very good team at this level. They have very good players at this level. They're ready to, you know, still score. They can create something if they just keep playing their game. But usually that does require a little uptick of intensity. As I've already noted a little bit, our intensity was changed from like a 4 to a 5, in my opinion, for roughly 10 minutes over the course of the entire game. So we're not getting up into 8. We're not getting up into 9 or 10 levels of intensity. So I don't think that, I mean, yeah, it never, like, they never decided, oh, okay, it's starting to get a little desperate here. I need to pick things up. Like when the Rowdies are down 1-0 and you have only 45 minutes to go, I don't mind making a sub. I don't know if Leo for JJ was the sub. I honestly would have expected Jake LaCava to come off. But regardless, yeah, so they make the substitution. I think that that's good in theory, like I said. But then it's still, the tempo never goes up. The tempo still never changes. And nobody really got to that place where they were like, our season's on the line. We need to start fighting for this. I don't know where that came from or didn't come from, obviously, where that did not come from. But as you said, it seemed like they just didn't remember that this was a playoff game for a lot of it. When we were in the press conference after the game, Nicky Law said that he expected that it was crucial for the Rowdies to score first, because if the Rowdies didn't score first, then it was entirely possible that we could end up, you know, going down a goal, and then all of a sudden our heads go down. I don't think there's any argument to say that that didn't happen. You know, I think it's kind of his role to prevent that from happening. So that's something separate, but I definitely agree with him that if the Rowdies had scored first, it would have been a different game, because going down obviously impacted the way that they continued to play. To finish out my notes specifically for the first half though, I want to say, I actually, you know what? I'll hold off on individual players until later. Let's do that. Let's do that later on. Let's just do the first goal then. So the first goal comes from a turnover right around the halfway line. And I think it was JJ Williams actually who lost the ball. He was coming in deeper to try and pick it up. And unfortunately, he could not hold on to it with a couple of players around him. That was down to that very, very good Birmingham defense. And also the fact that we were somehow getting overrun in the midfield, despite having Lewis Hilton there, Jan Ekra there, JJ dropping into the midfield, and either Jake LaCava or Charlie Dennis on either side. Supposedly, Aaron Guillen is supposed to be behind LaCava, and Antley is supposed to be either in front of or behind Dennis. I don't know how with those numbers, Enzo Martinez and Colin Smith on the right and Moses Mensah on the left were able to keep us at bay, but by God, did they ever do that. Enzo Martinez pulls the ball out of this little scrum, and he plays the ball into Juan Agudelo. Juan Agudelo was playing as a deep hold up player. He would hold the ball up and try and, you know, create something off of his back with a player on his back. And Forrest Lasso just got spun like a top, just like Agudelo has the ball. He turns with it and he's facing the other way. And Forrest Lasso is behind him like the whole way. For listeners who can't see my hand motions, it's just like, he's back to back. He's chest to Juan Agudelo's back. And that happens while Agudelo is making the move from facing away to our goal to now facing our goal. So yeah, he ends up on the field. Aaron Guillen was slow to react to the fact that Preston Tabor Tataka, I think is the correct order of that. I might be wrong, is running in on goal. And yeah, so he loses his man, and that's an easy goal. It's 1-0 there. Like you said, fair enough. The Rowdies go down 1-0. We still expect that if they continue to play their game, they'll eventually work something out. As I said, I don't think that they ever just changed anything up that they needed to actually get that done. So before the actual halftime whistle blows, Cal Jennings gets a yellow card for slamming into Matt Van Okkel. At the time, I thought it was pretty, you know, commonplace, a thing to happen. Ends up, Matt Van Okkel has to go off with an injury. So we send their best goalkeeper off, and supposedly that isn't even enough for us to turn things around. But you have to look at the statistics for that. In the first half, the percentage of possession was 61% to 39%. That's for us. The shots are 1-5 in favor of Birmingham. The shots on target are 0-3. So that's obviously bad. Now let's get into the second half. Leo comes on for JJ Williams, and he's in front of Jan and Lewis. Shortly after that, in the 50th minute, Hilton gets subbed off, and another substitution that is extremely questionable occurs, where Joshua Perez comes on for Hilton. And now Jan Ekra and Charlie Dennis are the ones who are playing behind Leo Fernandez, with Jake LaCava and Josh Perez on the two wings. It's just nothing really changes, though. Yeah. We were still failing to get down the wings. And the thing that I kept pointing out, I was sitting close to Eureka, while we were watching the game, I was pointing out, like, when I would see gaps open up in the back of the Birmingham Legion defense that somebody could run through, and I never saw anybody do that. Like, Birmingham Legion were always able to keep their four defenders in one easy line, just going up and down the field. And nobody ever tried to stretch that line by making a diagonal run behind it. Nobody tried to stretch that line by making a diagonal pass into someone who could find the ball on the other side. Mm-hmm. I think that there was one time that Forrest Lasso got so frustrated that he just kicked it long and let Cal Jennings chase it down with Alex Cronali kind of defending him. And we ended up getting a throw in off of that. Not that it amounted to anything, but it was just like nobody ever got like sick of achieving nothing, and they didn't change anything. They just kept, you know, banging their heads against the wall, it seemed like. And then, eventually, obviously, a second goal goes in the 57th minute. Before we get there, Carlos, am I leaving anything out in terms of patterns or in terms of highlights that you needed us to note?
No, but like, speaking of banging your head against the wall, that's what I started doing by the time Birmingham scored the 57th minute goal. And I still feel that way now. I don't know if that's because I'm still kind of sick or if that's because you're recounting the madness that we lived through that Saturday night. But you got all the highlights there. It was unrecognizable. And it wasn't the team that we had seen a week earlier against Louisville.
Nope. Josh Perez comes on and Jake LaCava is on the other side. I don't see either of them trying to dribble past their defenders. I will say, I think Moses Mensah had an extremely good game. I think Moses Mensah also had probably one of the easier games that he's ever going to have in the playoffs. It was shocking. Jake LaCava, he might have gone on two or three dribbles. One of them where I thought, okay, we've got to get something out of this. He's found his way. He's isolated against Colin Smith, the right back. He's in the box. He's got to get something out of this. And he ends up turning backwards, and then he loses the ball anyway. I don't know if they're not going to do that I don't know what they're being brought on for. Charlie Dennis was also extremely ineffective on the right side, though, because he's not usually like a one-on-one dribbler. He doesn't try and take you on and beat you that way. But he wasn't doing anything that, like I said, stretched the Legion defense. And I already mentioned LaCava. So, yeah, in the 57th minute, it was LaCava who lost the ball this time in his own half. And look who it was again. It was Enzo Martinez who picked up the ball. Enzo has enough space, time and space. Again, with all these guys in the midfield or around the midfield, he has enough time and space to pick his head up, look, and he sees a perfect through ball, something that I wish the Rowdies had been looking for all game. And he plays it past Forrest Lasso. And it right into space is Preston, I think, this time. And then he finds Diba Nwegbo, who has, again, one of the easiest goals he'll have in his life, I imagine. And Connor Sparrow's picking the ball out of the back of his net again. By the way, I asked for Connor Sparrow after the game. We didn't get to speak with him, but I assume, like, if you go and you ask the goalkeeper after you lose 3-0, like, they want to speak to you. I assume that he probably thought that I was going to blame him. I don't blame Connor Sparrow for any of these goals. I think that he was hung out to dry on all three of them. Absolutely. It's similar to when the Rowdies played Orange County in the 2021 championship final and Ryko Arozarena gave up 3 goals. I didn't think that he was responsible for any of those. Just getting hung out to dry in the worst possible times. But anyway, to get back to this, yeah, that's how that goal goes in, 2-0. And I would say probably half the crowd left at that point. I get it. In terms of like a fan, why are you going to continue to watch this game when you know that, I mean, you can see the writing on the wall in the way that they're playing, but then suddenly it's 2-0. I don't see the point in staying either, other than, you know, I'm here to cover the game and I went to the press conference afterwards. But our press was too easy to play through. It was barely existent. There was another one of my notes, which I've already stated, there was little movement, very little movement to try and make the Birmingham Legion defense at least look over their shoulder, at least turn around and worry, oh God, where's my man? That never happened. We looked deflated and beaten at that point, and that was in between the 60th and the 64th that I wrote that. So, I don't think that our substitutions helped either. I noted, whenever it was a couple minutes before the goal, so maybe like the 75th minute, I saw that Ariel Martinez and Lucky Mkosana were getting called over to the bench. They're going to, you know, they're all warmed up. You guys need to come on. And in that time, Birmingham scores their third goal. So, yeah. By then, though, the team had already checked out. I don't even think that third goal was a bunch of players who were chasing shadows. They weren't even, you know, they weren't even dialed in the way that they needed to be. So
they didn't even give Lucky a chance to do his like magical comeback. Like by three, I mean, you're asking a lot to have him score 3 goals in that last part. You could do those 2 goals against Louisville, but honestly, like genuinely, if they hadn't conceded that third goal, I think you get a little bit of an energy boost from Lucky coming in. But you know, just reminiscing on that Louisville game, everybody would start rallying. Oh, like, you know, we're going to do that comeback again. But by 3 goals down, there's not much hope anymore, obviously. So,
no.
Unfortunate for him, too.
All right. Well, Carlos, I think that we've covered how this game went, like, for the most part. Otherwise, we're just going to be beating a dead horse a little bit here. I would say one thing that I wanted to cover was just how Birmingham did this to us 3 times. They kind of played the same game all 3 goddamn times, where they let us have the ball a lot, and then they counterattacked. Not even, I mean, I will say they counterattacked better in the prior two games. In this game, it wasn't even like it was fast. Enzo Martinez just had the ball for like 2 or 3 seconds at a time with no one pressuring him. And he's able to pick a pass out that's super easy that they can go and score off of. So that happened on both of their first goals. Again, I'm not even getting to the third goal. This one, they just, I mean, honestly, I think that it was Birmingham playing us a great way for them to play us, but it was also us playing very, very poorly at the same time. So I don't even know that this fits into the same category as the first two, because at least in those ones, I think we had, like, I don't think we played well, but I think we at least had better chances. So yeah. My last one for you, Carlos, before we get, I want to do individual players too, but before we do that, I want to ask you, is there anything that I'm missing, first of all? And secondly, do you have anything to comment on, like, the mentality of this team now that we kind of watched it fall apart, in my opinion?
Yeah, I genuinely, the more I think about it, I can't really pinpoint anything about, like, how or why this went so wrong. If you're talking about mentality, right, there's really no reason to, like, I don't, like, have, like, a bad mentality going into this game. Like, you can't be overconfident because Birmingham's beat you twice this year. But you certainly have the confidence of being able to win games, score goals, defend well. I mean, you ended the season really well, and you're in second place in the conference. Like, there's no reason that the mentality should have been off coming into this game. But something about it was. And I think that's kind of my question, is why were we so tuned out? Or, like, why didn't we check in for the first playoff game of the year? Like, there's literally something so wrong. And mentality certainly has something to do with it, but I just don't know where that comes from. Like, I don't know where that aspect of the game came from. We played bad, sure, but there was that attitude or lack thereof.
Yeah. Right.
That I think was the most just, like, draining emotionally as a fan of the team, just not really seeing any fight, was the most taxing, I think. And I would really like to, I guess, I don't know. I wish I would be able to know, like, where that came from. Like, why we were just not looking like how we looked a week ago. I'm not saying that, like, tactically or, like, talent wise. I'm just saying, like, the attitude, like, the faces on players, like, it just felt so different, and I don't really know where that came from. I really don't. Like, I don't know if, who knows, maybe something happened in the locker room right before the game, or there was, I don't know. Like, there could be just an infinite amount of things that could have happened, but we just don't know. And I think that's the most frustrating part. It just wasn't the same team.
No, it certainly wasn't. All right. Well, Carlos, I think before we get to the end of this podcast, one more thing that we have to do specifically for this game is I do want to focus on individual players here. Now, I don't usually take a lot of time to do this, other than our man of the match thing. I especially don't usually take time to do this in a negative sense, because honestly, it really bums me out when, like, if it's a podcast I'm listening to and they just focus on this player was bad, this player did nothing all game. I get the instinct to do that, and I often have the instinct to do that, but specifically for our podcast, I always want to do that in a way that, like, considers the fact that these guys are, they're, first of all, they're humans. They're not robots. Like, we have to look at it that way. You know, I don't think that any of them necessarily listen to this, because if you're a professional, you should probably only be listening to mostly your coaching staff or your agent at the most. It's probably the worst thing as a professional to start listening to the comments, or, you know, what the comment section, I guess. Either way, I left the game with a couple of inklings about how I felt certain players did. And I went to the press conference, and I didn't necessarily broach that subject with the players that we spoke to, which were Cal Jennings, Forrest Lasso, and Aaron Guillen, all very professional, for coming and talking to us after the game, because obviously I wouldn't want to if I were in their position. So I didn't want to bring that up with them because if I'm going to criticize a player, I at least want to have watched it back. You know, there's a big difference between watching it as a fan and watching it as an analyst. So when I was at the game, I was there as a fan, but I did want to back up these assertions by having, you know, some stats or at least, you know, a couple of instances to point to. So I have that now. And I do also want to say that I'm saying this as someone who played at a very low level. Obviously, these are all infinitely better players than we would ever be. And, you know, I just want to come at this segment with the confidence of saying, like, if it ever came to it, I could say it to their faces. And I don't think that I will, but I do want to say, in my great game category, I have Preston Tabor Tataka, obviously Birmingham Legion. Juan Agudelo played an absolutely magnificent game, absolutely magnificent. He was so good in that holdup role. I think that I thought that he was close to man of the match. The man of the match for me, if I were considering everyone, would have been Enzo Martinez. It pains me to say that because I absolutely hate him as a player. Absolutely hate him. But he was so good in a role that he doesn't even play usually. Like, that was the worst part. And then Moses Mensah on the left side, the left fullback, I thought he was absolutely immense in this game. There was a moment in the second half when I think Leo might have gotten a yellow card out of this. He certainly got a talking to by the referee. But Leo went and, like, shouldered him after he had beat two guys in this nice little turn and passed the ball off. And it was just pure frustration because Mensah was doing so well and nobody could beat him apparently or contain him. So yeah, that was that. And then to get to where I was going with this, the bad game section, I will now go ahead and say that I believe Forrest Lasso had a very bad game. I think that he looked awful out there. He was spun like a top on the goal that Agudelo scored. He was spun like a top in the seventh minute. That's where I actually first noted it on the rewatch, that he ended up on the ground. He was beat twice. One of those was the pass on the second goal, and one of them was a dribble. He looked out of sorts in this game, and I don't know what that comes down to, if that's mentality or if that's, you know, other things catching up to him specifically in this game. Like, maybe he had gone too long. I will say that Nicky Law told us after the game he thought a ton of players had just reached their limit physically. They had played too many games, and, you know, I don't know exactly which ones those were at this point. I don't remember off the top of my head, but maybe that was him. I'm not entirely sure. I will go ahead and say that I thought Charlie Dennis had a very bad game against Birmingham. He did absolutely nothing on the right wing. He did nothing to stretch the Legion's back line. He didn't step into the midfield hard enough to put pressure on Enzo Martinez and prevent him from setting up both goals, both of the first two goals. And he also did not change the game when he moved into the midfield and was standing behind Leo Fernandez. I think Jake LaCava had an awful game. I again, these are words that I hate to use, but I'm coming at this and trying to be objective. I think Jake LaCava was dreadful. I don't think that he did anything in this game. The one time I saw him get isolated with his opponent, Colin Smith, I already talked about that. He turned around and lost the ball. JJ Williams, also extremely ineffective in this game. He was supposed to drop deeper and get involved in helping build up the play. He could not do that. He lost it on multiple occasions. He was not making any runs in behind the Birmingham Legion defense. Cal Jennings doesn't usually start himself making runs in behind the defense. Now, he didn't do it either. Like, if things aren't working, then you have to change things up. JJ Williams, I think, is a little bit more adept at doing that. Cal Jennings will often drop deep, pick up the ball, and go on a bit of a run. But neither of them stretched the Birmingham Legion defense. So if you're not going to do that, then JJ should have at least been more involved in the play when he was dropping into the midfield. He failed to do that. He failed to prevent Enzo Martinez from helping Birmingham's attacks. I think that he looked terrible in this. I wouldn't give any Rowdies player above a 5, like out of 10. And the people who got a 5 out of 10 for me were Ariel Martinez and Lucky Mkosana, because they came on in the 78th 80th minute, whatever it was. The people who got a 4 out of 10 were probably Leo Fernandez and Connor Sparrow, and everyone else got a 3, a 2, or a 1 beneath that. I don't know, you know, what happened in terms of team talks before the game in at halftime. I obviously don't know that. I don't know what all of the players were coming into this in terms of their fitness. I mean, Jake Arman wasn't even on the bench when he was not listed as questionable beforehand. So I really don't know what they were feeling and what they had in their tank, as the saying goes. But yeah, outside of those four players, I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, everyone else got a 3, a 2, or a 1, because it was just terrible, terrible to see. And that's my long rant about, you know, I hate presenting information in that way. But it's just the truth of the matter in this game that all of those players unfortunately played very poorly. And I feel the need, because of how it went and because of the importance of this game too, to put it in those terms. So I guess those are the bad game players for me. And it's very unfortunate that it happened, like you said already, in a playoff game against Birmingham Legion.
Yeah. Yeah. I have nothing else to add. I think you summarized it well there. I really don't know what else to add. There's not much you can say tactically. I think my only contribution this episode has been that we didn't look like our team. And again, and I want to reemphasize that it wasn't for me. It wasn't really about talent in that way. It was like, we just didn't, it didn't even feel like we were ready for the playoffs. Like I thought we were, I really did, just based on how we ended the year. And then the game started and it really was just totally unexpected, like really fully unexpected. I figured it could be a close game. Birmingham could win, like theoretically. But in my head, there was not really a chance that we would not make it out of the first round of the playoffs. Like, no. Nah. So it was crazy. And then maybe this is for extra time. Actually, I'll say what I have to say for extra time. So that's it. That's all I have to say. We have plenty of time this offseason to reflect on what a great season it was. The challenges,
yeah, right.
The you know,
which were a lot.
We had to hurdle through to actually get to this point anyway. I wish we had slightly less time to do that, and we had plenty of episodes left to talk about how well we were doing in the playoffs. But in this game, I have nothing else to add. It's a sad way to end the year.
Yeah, I agree, Carlos. Well, we do have a little bit more to go to. So before we do that, I just want to say liking and subscribing is free and we appreciate when you do that. But if you think you might need some new threads for the, I guess it's the Lightning and the Bucks season still going on. We have a couple of options for you, and you can support this podcast a little bit more by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out all the designs we've got there. There will be a link in the description, and as always, we have a promo code for you that is COYR for 10% off. If you need stuff for next season for the Rowdies or the Rays, you can find it there. Or, you can obviously look for the in-season teams too. But either way, that is where we'll leave that. Carlos, if you could give us a rest of the league update, which, I'll talk about this when we get through that too.
Look, surprisingly, despite how bad this game was, I don't think we were the biggest disappointment of the season or the playoffs. I think that title clearly goes to the Pittsburgh Riverhounds. Pittsburgh had a historic season. I think their best yet. They are coming off of just a historic season. They're playing so well. Like, they have everything going for them. And it really seemed like this was their year after tons of years of Bob Lilley kind of having a good team and not really putting it together. This was the team. They had it all. They had a really easy first round game against a team that didn't really get in off of their own merit on the last day. It was actually Miami FC losing their game that actually snuck Detroit City in. And I'm setting it up to say Detroit City actually beat Pittsburgh 1-0. which is a little extra bitter because that would have meant that the Rowdies had home field advantage throughout the Eastern Conference, but that's neither here nor there.
They lost their game before ours was over, so we knew about it too.
Yeah, yeah. That being said, Detroit won, and that's insane. And that's definitely the bigger disappointment. So take some solace in that, I guess, if you're a Rowdies fan and, you know, you're thinking about how hard your life is. If you're a Pittsburgh Riverhounds fan, man, like, that sucks, dog. Like, I'm so sorry for you. Like, you just had the best season of your life. Everything's starting to finally come together, and it ends 1-0 in the first round. Good Lord. I feel kind of bad for them. That's that game. Moving on to other game in the Eastern Conference, Louisville City actually beat Memphis in the 4-5 seed matchup. Louisville went to Memphis and won on penalties 1-1 after the game. Won on penalties after the game ended tied 1-1. Louisville City moves on, and fortunately, it feels like that the door could be open for Louisville to make it back to the USL Championship final, which would be unfortunate because they're there all the time. Their main opponent standing in their way is none other than the Charleston Battery, who just killed Indy 11 in their home game. Wasn't particularly close. Sorry to Sebastian Guanzotti. And, well, I was going to say Juan Tejada, but he is not there anymore, actually. So sorry to Sebastian Guanzotti. They lost 5-0. Charleston moves on to the next round. That being said, in the Eastern Conference, your semifinalist teams are Louisville City versus Detroit City. Sorry, I don't think they're playing Detroit City. I think it's Charleston versus Detroit, and then Louisville versus Birmingham, if I'm not mistaken. That'll be the matchups in the next round, the last four teams. Out in the Western Conference, everything went kind of according to, I guess, how you would think it would go. The exception to that would be Phoenix playing a wild game against San Diego and eventually winning 4-3 with a last-minute goal in literally the last minute of extra time. Rip San Diego, loyal soccer club. It was a good run. They had a good 3 years going for that, and it was none other than Major League Soccer that came in and killed the team.
Yeah.
You could say it's other things, but that's kind of what it is. It was that's a sad way for – yeah, it's a sad way for them to go. I actually felt really, really bad. They tied the game in stoppage time. They were down 3-2, and a last-minute penalty in stoppage time in the 97th minute tied the game for them 3-3. The storybook ending seemed to be real, seemed to be possible, and that kind of went to crap with a Formea goal on the 119th minute in extra time. Just a really, really sad way for them to go. Tons of great articles, by the way, that I read from the Associated Press, as well as local coverage from San Diego. Take a look at some of those when you have a chance. San Diego loyal, just independent of MLS stuff and you know, whatever. Very, very emotional game for them, and it really was just kind of a sad way for them to go out. I think the AP captured that pretty well, and so did some of the local San Diego papers. Definitely worth reading when you have a chance. Other than that, it was the higher seed in the other games that would go on to win. Sacramento actually had trouble with New Mexico United. They won 1-0 in a pretty close game. And then San Antonio won 1-0 against Colorado Springs. Finally, Orange County won 1-0 against El Paso. And those are your matchups. Phoenix versus Orange County and Sacramento versus San Antonio, I believe. Or am I wrong?
No, I think you got it.
Yeah, whatever. Those are the four teams. Maybe I'm wrong in the matchup. Frankly, I really don't care. The Rowdies are out, and then whatever. It'll be a fun playoffs. I hope – I'm going to put this out there. I hope Charleston ends up having a good year and finally gets their championship.
Hope they at least beat Lou City.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put that out there as the team I'm endorsing this playoffs. I don't really know what else to say there. Yeah, that's kind of it in terms of the rest of the league. Should be a fun playoffs. Definitely worth tuning into. Admittedly, I will be very sad when I do watch these games because I wish it was the Rowdies in them, but it is what it is, James. That is the rest of the league playoffs.
All right. Well, I think at this point we might as well wrap it up, Carlos, because we have covered just about everything that we wanted to and didn't want to in this one. The last couple of things, a long off season starts now. So we'll do our best to give you things to tune in for. That will include interviews, probable histories and crossovers, and anything else you can think of. If you have any suggestions, please send them in. We will obviously take that into consideration. And if it's something that we think is a good idea, then we can add that to our schedule. Unfortunately, there is, just as you said, Carlos, there is a ton of time to
go over
everything and anything under the soccer sun. Speaking of the soccer sun, the USL Super League team in Tampa will hopefully be fully started soon, like fully announced and everything. We at least have an idea for where they're going to be playing. They should have a stadium in downtown Tampa for at least a little while. It's supposed to be temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll have a show for that. So please tune in to the USL Super League team when they get started up and get going weekly. The other thing that I want to say is, please tune in to our other show that is weekly, RBLR Deportes. That is our Spanish language show, and it is done by Santiago Pombo, our great contributor on he was previously on the Buck Show, but now he is doing only the whole Spanish thing by himself. That's that's a lot of work, and that's awesome that he's doing that. So please tune in and get the Spanish content that you want as well if you are a speaker. So, yeah, that will actually wrap us up, Carlos. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in this week. I know that you probably did not want to, but maybe there was a reason for you still to do that. Please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, wherever you are, at RBLR Sports. You can also get at me if you are interested. I'm on Twitter mostly, at RBLR James K. Carlos, what about you?
At Carlos TPA 10 on Twitter. Admittedly, there will be a lack of Rowdy's content for a little while now. I just don't know what we'll be talking about there. But always space to chat about the Rowdy's. Plenty of other sports coming up too. Tampa Bay sports are in full effect in the other sports. Georgetown basketball starting up pretty soon. That'll be a fun time. But that being said, Rowdy's news is never too far away. We're coming into the month of November. We're talking about re-signings by mid-December, late December at the latest, usually. Then you have some new signings coming in by January. Preseason starts in February, and next thing you know, it's the Rowdy season again. So, hey, it's a long off season, but there's always stuff to talk about, and hopefully that stuff starts coming out sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. And please like and subscribe to our podcast. Of course, if you've gotten this far, I assume you have, but maybe you could get other people to do that too. You can get the full experience on YouTube. And if you only want to listen, we are on Spotify, iHeartRadio app, Apple, Google Podcasts, wherever you are. For a season that ended too soon, come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.